This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What is up, Peter Peeps? Welcome in to this week. What is this? Week eight now? Episode of the PeterCast post game.
I don't know.
Does not. You know what? It really does not matter. What it is you're going into the bye week right now, and you're going into the bye week as bad as you can expect to go. I'm Steve Carney. That's Rendax. And we are, of course, the PeterCast brought to you by BetUS.com, part of the Fansided Network, your number one spot for all things regarding your Super Bowl champions, who looked like absolute garbage tonight. I'll throw it right out there.
How did they look like absolute garbage? What are you talking about?
Especially defensively. Defensively, they look like absolute crap.
I thought they played pretty well defensively.
There were so many missed tackles. Does anybody want to tackle? I sound like Vince Lombardi. Grab, grab, grab. Nobody's tackling. I saw so many times where the Saints were like, oh, nobody's tackling me. I'm just gonna run for another 6 or 7 yards. Oh, nobody's tackling me again. Oh, there we go. 6 or 7 more yards. Absolutely horrific. Horrific tackling.
Tackling wasn't good in the first half.
Tackling wasn't good, period.
Okay.
And then, of course, you can get into... I know. Ren has heard this now for the last, 10 or 15
You on minutes. Twitter was like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, you're having a complete meltdown. We don't deserve to win this game.
No, you don't. You're minus three in the turnover ratio with the pick six. You had 11 penalties, and five of them were personal foul penalties.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't good.
And like I said, all the missed tackles. I just saw so many people playing their best Florida Gator impression, trying to grab a guy like this or to try and bump him. Just awful. Just horrific.
Well, where do you want to start?
I'm trying. Let's start with the fact that this team lost to Trevor Siemian. I know Jameis Winston started the game, but you lost to Trevor bleeping Siemian, guy that had not thrown a touchdown pass since 2017. I mean, come on.
That's it.
I'm just so angry. Well, I'm trying.
Why are you so angry? Is it because it's the Saints?
Yes, it's the
Saints. Look at it this way. Hey, man, the season counts again. Like, when's the last time? It's been like 4 weeks I even cared about a Bucs game. And I don't mean that like, oh, I don't care. Like, I'm not gonna watch. But like, the past like 3 weeks, the games have been in the bag before like even started. You know, this is the only one that really meant anything. Jameis picking up first downs with his feet. You know, that was, of course, you're like, ah!
Where's the tackling there? Hey, does anybody... You know, he's not on your team anymore. You can hit Jameis Winston. Devin White and Levante David.
Oh, going after Levante David now, are we?
Early. Not hitting Jameis Winston.
Well, no one was there. They were playing their coverage. I mean, you know, Jameis picking up first downs with his feet, but I was okay with it because, I mean, yeah, it's frustrating, but... The Saints weren't going to win the game with Jameis Winston running for every third and long. So that was their game plan. That was fine with me. I think the, you know, I thought the defense played pretty well. They shot themselves in a foot a couple times. You know, the refs really handed it to them. Like the interception in the end zone, and what, Devin White like brushed that guy's helmet with his pinky?
Yeah.
You know, that was ridiculous. I mean, that was ridiculous. And, I mean, that's points off the board and momentum going our way.
And then Will Golston gets called for roughing the passer, was it one or two plays later, after he gets his helmet ripped off.
Yeah, nothing on the helmet ripped off. The guy with no helmet on hits the guy in the back with his shoulder, albeit a little late, but he, you know, it wasn't egregious and it wasn't hard.
And he had a guy ripping his helmet off.
Yeah, the guy with no helmet, yeah. So, you know, so you had those that helped, you know, the Saints score. And then the Brady turnover, the one with the fumble where he was in the pocket. I mean, that was just unfortunate, you know. Yes, that was the way the Saints were going to have to win the game. They're going to have to win the turnover battle by a lot, which they did.
Hey, that turnover, by the way, if you fail to remember, the Saints only rushed three that play.
So
they rushed three and were able to force a turnover on it. Well, that's what I'm saying.
But it was just odd. It wasn't like the guy beat the whole offensive line and got in there and crushed Brady and he knocked the ball out. Tristan Wirfs was between him and forklifting him up, and all he could do was reach and poke, and it just happened to hit Brady's shoulder, and he just happened to drop the ball. So, like, getting all upset about, oh, they only rushed three. What the hell, the offensive line? The offensive line did God's work today. Brady had more time than Moses did to cross the Red Sea. Ooh. Start picking on the offensive line, you're starting at the wrong. No.
I'm not picking on the offensive line. But you said that was unfortunate, and I said I agreed with you, and that's why, because they only rushed three, and somehow they were able to get the turnover out of it. I'm actually agreeing with you on that one.
Okay. Well, your tone was sorry. Your tone threw me.
It's just I'm just.
Why are you so angry? The whole season is now fun again. We have the Saints are there. Like this is good. Like all the games count now. The Washington game. It's going to be big, especially if the Saints who already had their did they have their bye week already?
Yes.
So if the Saints win next week, I mean this
they will be in the lead. You will be chasing the Saints.
Yes, I know.
And they play at home against Atlanta next week.
Yeah, it's ratcheting it up. And by the way, the link if you want to join us is in the chat there. Just click on it. We'll bring you in the show.
There goes your shot at getting the bye for the playoffs.
After two losses.
Yep.
Okay, Steve. You might get fired this show.
The top five teams.
Okay. Last year in the NFC, who was the top seed? In the NFC, who was the top seed?
Green Bay.
What was their record?
They were 12-4, 13-3.
Okay, we'll say 13-3. So going 15-2 is better than that?
Do you think that they're going to go 15-2?
Why wouldn't they got the Bills and Indy and the Saints again? That's it.
So that would make them 12-5.
Oh, so they're losing all of those. Okay. All right. Can you think logically for me instead of like can you seriously take like your crybaby stuff and let's analyze the game. Okay. Let's analyze this game. Let's not we're never going to win another game. Oh, they're going to lose the Bills. They can't there goes the top seat. Like really 2 years ago I would have cut off my pinky for a playoff berth. And here we are in what week 7 saying, "Oh, like this team's terrible because there goes the shot at the top seed in the NFC, which by the way is stupid. It's only two losses. Like what are we talking about here? Yeah, the defense were put in bad situations and they didn't stop the Saints. They were helped out by the refs. The second half, Simeon hit like a 38-yard pass and the whole sky's falling. Everyone on Twitter, game's over. Game's over." Like, people are saying the game was actually over. Bucks come back, boom, 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 three touchdowns in a row. Now they're winning the game. And there's still, like, 5 minutes left in the fourth. Like, we were back within three after everyone said the game was over before the end of the third. Like, what are you looking at? What's the problem here?
The problem that I have with this team is that you have a team that is supposed to be one of the top-ranked defenses in the NFL.
Where? I've never said that.
No. I'm not saying that you said that.
Where? I've never seen them being a top-ranked defense in the NFL.
The Bucs aren't one of the
I don't know. I've never seen it. Have you seen it? Or are you just saying that because that backs up your argument because of shitty defense because Trevor Siemian or whatever the fuck his name is?
Well, it doesn't matter if they're not a top 10 defense.
Sure.
Which I believe they are.
Right.
You lost to a third fucking string quarterback. Excuse me. Third string quarterback.
Yeah.
Because you know what? They didn't have Taysom Hill. It would have been different if Jameis had gone out and Taysom Hill had come in and they had won this game.
That's why would it have been indifferent? Like the cockerel play, that play is if they're in nickel coverage and they're playing man to man and there's a slot corner and two outside corners, two of the three cornerbacks are holding worse than Cockerel did on that play every single play in the NFL. Did he have him? Yeah. He wasn't grabbing him. He wasn't holding him. The guy was leaning into him. It was a complete bullshit call. Technically, did he have him past 5 yards? Yeah. But then they would have had that was third down. I mean, how many times did Siemian, who you think beat the Bucks, get bailed out on third down?
Too many times.
Six times the Saints got first downs because of Bucks penalties. Like, I don't understand why you're so, like, you think, like, the defense, like, yes, it was disappointing, but defense did what they had to do. They came out in the second half, put 2-3 and outs back-to-back, let us get back in it, and then when we took the lead, stopped them the next time, I think. Or did they kick a field goal? No, they stopped them. Or did they kick a field goal? I don't remember.
When after they took the lead?
But, no, they had to stop him, and that's the part, that's the play that pissed me off about the defense, was when JPP and Shaq both jumped off sides on 3rd and 5, and then they ended up marching down the field, and I think they kicked the field. Yeah, nice. I mean, that's that's not the first time we haven't seen this from Shaq. Like, you know, we all complained in, I think it was the Panthers game. No, we haven't played the Panthers yet. What, the Falcons game? What was the one where he got off, like, right at the snap? It was such a perfect jump that, you know, and he got flagged for it. We're like, no, bull crap, that's a sack, blah, 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 blah. This is not the first time Shaq Barrett has jumped off sides in a crew. He's like Gerald McCoy 2.0. So, like, I get that. Like, if you want to be mad at Shaq Barrett and the defense for, because you didn't have to do it. They weren't moving the ball at all. Like, they didn't have an offensive game plan to get the ball past the sticks when it was, like, 3rd and 7. Like, they didn't have a 7-yard pass in the book they were comfortable with. And you jump off sides on 3rd and 5 and give them an automatic first down. Like that defensively, yes. But I think the offense put the defense in crappy situations. I think the defense did well to hold off on to a field goal. I think they held on 2 field goals in the first half. Then shut them down in the second half. Like, I don't, you know, if you want to point fingers, like, there's no, like, you can blame the refs. A lot.
I don't want to blame the refs, though. Good.
I don't want to blame the refs either. But we had this conversation. What was that? The New England game, where, like, the refs were keeping them in it. We ended up winning the game. But I was like, I am fully convinced that the refs are trying to keep this a close game because it's network TV, because it's the big game. I mean, that Cockerel pass interference call was crap. The Devin White pass interference, which negated an interception, which they end up getting points are, was more than crap. I mean, it was I don't know what to say. But when you commit over 100 yards in penalties and have a 3-0 turnover margin, well, I mean, what do you want? I'm not blowing up the team. I'm not taking away their key cards. Yeah, they should have won the game, but guess what?
You don't deserve.
I don't know. The Saints, what? Saints did a 2-for-1.
That's
you know.
Favorite. Your favorite call.
They did a 2-for-1. They scored at the end of the half. Bucks came in, ran one play, knelt it down, come out in the second half, and they went down and kicked a field goal. And then that's the 2-for-1. The Bucks offense didn't see the field for, like, real time, about 45 minutes. It was under 9 minutes when the Bucks got the ball back after the Saints scored, and not including, of course, the little 1-yard run. And that's what 2-for-1 did for you. But they still boom, boom, boom down the field, took the lead. Like, I mean, I understand being mad that you lost, but like blaming it on Cockrell. I mean, poor, what's his face? Desir, what the hell's his name?
Yeah, Pierre Desir.
Yeah, that guy was hanging on for dear life out there. He was doing okay. Sometimes. We got a caller or a videoer.
All right, yes, and the link is in the comments here if you're watching us on YouTube. If you're listening to us in the podcast, I apologize that I am just absolutely
red-faced. You don't have to apologize.
I'm going to apologize because I'm usually the one that's...
I know. You never do this about the Rays.
No, never. never. Or just all the time with the Rays. But, no, I for me, like, it's like, you know, B.A. said it at halftime. I know he said it to T.J. Reeves going into the half. I know he said it to Aaron Andrews coming out of the half. You know, that the penalties, they took too many stupid penalties in the first half. You know, all the taunting call on Devin White, it's like...
That was, he shouldn't do that.
Yes.
I mean, yes, it wasn't egregious. I mean, if you're gonna applaud... Who just got taunted against us with Fournette?
Oh,
what game was that? I don't know. With some Chicago, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The Chicago game.
I don't think so, but it didn't matter. Yeah, and we're all like, "Yeah, you can't do that." Then I mean, you know, Fournette kind of stood up in the guy's face, and the guy like got back in his face and yelled at him.
Yeah, and then he was like, "Hey, you look at him."
Yeah, like, I can't believe this guy. I mean, Devin White bent over and started yelling in Mark Ingram's face when he's on the ground, and that's what they don't want to do because it's that sort of like superior positioning, you know, like with dogs and shit, whoever's standing higher and all that crap. And eventually, it's going to boil over, especially within team rivalries, and it's going to get ugly. They don't want any of that crap, so. I mean, you know, there were some dumb plays on the defense. I think the Cockrell play was outrageous. I think the Cockrell play was more outrageous than the Devin White roughing the passer, because you know if you touch him in the head at all. I mean, I remember Peyton Manning used to get like you know, the guy would try to swat the pass and would come down, his finger would come across his helmet and be like 15 yards, you can't touch Peyton. You know, I remember those days. So that's been going on, but I mean, that Cockrell play, like the guy was leaning into him, and like, what angle were you to even see that? I mean, their bodies, there was no space between their bodies. And as soon as the guy broke away, Cockrell's hands were off him. And that was third down. The guy was throwing the ball away. Like, I mean, it was just bad officiating again. But all right, I'm going to bring in No Saint. This is a Saints fan. I haven't heard from him for a while. He's actually a cool Saints fan. And he's logical. I think, you know, he'll be a... hopefully he brings some chi to you there, Steve. We'll see how it goes.
Let's find out.
No Saint, hey. What's up, man? Long time.
Hey. Yeah, long time. Hey, Steve. Nice to see you. I've watched you guys more, but I usually don't... You know, I usually just watch unless it's the Saints, and I definitely Yeah, you need to calm down. Listen, I said before the game... I said,
don't tell my coach to calm down, Saints fan.
No, but I said before the game, the only way the Saints would win would be turnovers. That was shorten up the field. That is the only, because, and once Jameis went down, I mean, I was just like bummed out because I'm like, oh God, we got the third string quarterback in. We don't really have a chance at all. That's the way I felt. But listen, I mean, in my opinion, the Tampa's going to win this division. You can't – listen, that's your one stinker of the year, and it happens against the Saints. I get it. And
right, exactly. This would not be so upsetting if it was, like, against the Washington football team or the Bills or even –
with the Bills, that they're a good team.
Are they?
Yeah, the Bills. The Bills are very good. But what was I going to say? Okay, now – There were a lot of penalties. There's no doubt. Some, you know, I see it a little different now. The one I agree with you on is the there should have been a double penalty on the one with the hands to the face to the helmet.
Right.
It would probably be that. You know, that ended up with 3 points regardless. But you know, you never know what happens after that. There was one no call, which I'm fine with, that they were holding on the tight end in the end zone against the Saints. But But, you know, who am I to say you can't complain about the rest? Saints fans, we hate...
Yeah, right? Yeah, if you guys, if anybody's got anybody to complain about the rest, Jesus.
Yeah. But, listen, with two, you know who would have got... If the Saints would have lost this game, Sean Payton would have got hammered by the fans, because even before that last series the Saints had, I was like, they got to run the ball on first, run the ball on second, try to get an end zone. You can't give Tom Brady up. And that's still a lot of time for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And what does he do? He passes. I thought there was no way they were going to win that game. You guys, it was one of those games, though. You guys were the, you know, obviously, I have no idea what the Saints are going to look like on offense, because we really, especially now, I mean, I think we have a good, the Saints have a good team. Their defense is really good, but this won't happen in Tampa. You can't count on three turnovers. So I mean, it's just a stinker for you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and Ren, you're hitting the nail on the head, man, on your commentary. I mean, that's why I always like watching you guys. You're pretty straightforward, you know, less rah-rah.
Right, but, right.
So anything for me?
No, I mean, you know, I mean, it's good to see you. It's been a long time. I don't really want to ask what are you guys going to do, but yeah, like, and I can't really say, like, because you don't know, like, why the hell did Sean Payton throw the ball three times, you know, when they was trying to run the clock out and all they needed was a field goal to take the lead. Like, I don't know. Like,
you know, I don't know, 15 quarterbacks in the league, you could say, okay, Tom Brady, that was just, I was yelling at the TV, like, you're giving this. I said, this is on time. This is on Sean Payton.
It would have been.
With a 2-point lead, by the way. Not a tie. Not they have to get seven. A 2-point lead. Yeah.
Okay, but, so here's my question. What would have been more egregious? That if Brady doesn't throw an interception and say, like, you know, they drive down the field, kick a field goal to win the game, or the Reggie Bush double reverse to fumble to lose the game?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I think because of today, it would have been today. But
yeah, because it would have been more. It's more stupid.
Yeah, like, recency.
Recency, and plus, like, it was the difference between, you know, I don't even remember who the Bucs quarterback was back then. Might have been, no, it wasn't Jameis.
No, it was probably Josh Freeman.
Yeah.
You know, this is our Ryan Fitzpatrick game where we're supposed to kill you guys, and Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in and just grills this. I'm just saying, Steve, I get it, man. It's emotional, and it's the Saints.
Trevor, I know how much the Bucks fans hate
the Saints, okay?
But the Bucks are 0-2 against Simeon.
He's a Northwestern.
He's a Bucks killer.
Yeah, I think Taysom Hill comes in next week. I don't think. I think it's
you know, why? So Taysom Hill can throw punts 50 yards down the field.
I know, man. Well, let me ask you something. What were you? I know you. I heard you talking about Jameis running the ball, and you were fine with that.
Yeah.
What would have been worse? I mean, I guess, Steve, I can ask you, what would have been worse? Jameis Winston getting the win or this guy?
Trevor freaking Simeon.
The fact that Trevor Simeon is a Northwestern quarterback is what kills me.
Why?
Well, he's smart.
What's wrong with Northwestern?
It's a shitty football school.
So,
Danny
Vitale came from Northwestern.
Another thing, Steve, that's horrible about a loss is it's before the bye, and I get that too. That's really bad.
Yeah, because now you're gonna now Bucks fans have to chew on this one for 2 weeks.
I know.
Gonna have to put Carney on suicide watch.
Probably.
I hate that too. But hey, Ren, Steve, man, thanks. It's always a pleasure.
You got it, no say.
I still think you guys are winning the division. I think, in my opinion, right now, it's between, and I know it's early, but it's between you and the Rams in the playoffs. But it's a long time from now to then. But I mean, just enjoy this. I told another group, enjoy this ride.
Yeah.
You know, we'll try to meet you in the playoffs, but I don't have any confidence in our offense.
No, not anymore.
No. All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, good talk. We'll see you, man.
All right. Bye.
It just stinks for the Bucks, because now you're gonna have to play three playoff games when you were hoping to maybe.
We're sort of looking at chat. Is there something else we're gonna have to put up? By the way, I dropped the link in chat if anybody wants to join us again. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, these things where I'm gonna have to listen 2 weeks that BA can't beat Peyton or McVay. You know, like, I saw some crap in the chat about you know, we're not a tier one coaching staff. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, every single player that's on this team is trending up, except for maybe Steve McClendon, who now can't get active, who's the oldest defensive tackle in the National Football League. Like, everyone's trending up. Like, the draft picks have worked out. I was thinking about this, you know, riding home last night. It's like, you know, and plus, you got to remember, like, you heard it in the broadcast, like, this is their seventh different starting corner. Seventh. It's only the seventh week. Seventh different starting corner. So, I mean, I was thinking about, you know, yeah, MJ Student didn't work out, but, you know, Sean Murphy Bunting and definitely Carlton Davis, like, those guys worked out. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Antoine Winfield, who I don't think is as good as Buck fans think he is. I think he can be. You know, I think he's fine. You know, I think there's something needs to work on. I think his, speaking of tackling angles, I think he's the worst in the secondary by far.
Yes, I agree.
I still think he can grow out of that, and he does tend to show up and make splash plays, but not nearly as often as I'd like to see. But again, you know, it's a fan coming out of me. Like, if every DB doesn't get an interception every game, then you're not doing your job. So, but, you know, I thought the Bucs ran the ball fine. I just, Rojo pulled his head out of his freaking ass. Because I think this could have been a big game for Rojo. It just was unfortunate circumstances. And it all started with the turnovers, the kind of like back-to-back turnovers there. And then the 2-for-1. And the Bucks didn't get the ball back till like under 9 minutes. It wasn't. It was just a little over.
Yeah, it was almost halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah, before they got that. And before that, I don't even know. I'd have to look, you know, at the time of possession. But the Saints drove down and scored. And they weren't driving fast. So, I mean, like, game clock, it might have been 10 minutes before they got the ball. And that's kind of what it was. Because if the Saints didn't jump out to that, you know, halftime lead where it's like, okay, like, we got to kind of ditch the run here. We need to score as quick as we can, which they did, by the way. You know, when they had to put their foot on the gas, it was boom, boom, boom. Well, let's not forget in the end, like, Brady had, like, 2 minutes and, or excuse me, a minute and 50 seconds, or minute 40, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, minute 41.
Minute 41 just to go down in field goal range. And his first pass attempt, which I'd like to see a replay of that, to see like or have that conversation. This is what we miss about having reporters in the locker room.
Yeah.
Because I need somebody to go to Mike Evans and Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's not going to tell you. But at least go to Mike Evans and go, hey.
Mike Evans stopped and was like, hey, yeah, which way am I going to go?
I don't
inside, and that should have been picked off anyway. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but like, if he makes that, and I know it's all, you know, ifs and buts, all that stuff, but if he makes that catch, like, it's first down 1 yard out of field goal range, and there's a minute 30 on the clock. So, yeah. I mean, I really thought we were going to win this game, and I bet everyone else did too. But when the pick hurt, and then he ran it all the way back in the end zone, that hurt even more. And then I kind of missed the second and third down plays. But, you know, the first down play, Brady gets sacked, and I come back in, it's like fourth inning, he gets sacked again. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, you know, that just leaves a sour taste in your mouth, and I get it. But I'm looking at it like this, like, now this shit counts. Like, now it's on, because I have been bored for the past 3 weeks as a Bucs fan. Like, you know, I have. And I think the offense played well. I think the offensive line played fantastic. I thought Ronald Jones ran the ball well. I thought Gio Bernard ran the ball well. I thought Leonard Fournette ran the ball well. Like, yeah. I'm trying to rack in my... The only way the Bucks stopped themselves was with the three turnovers. Rarely they punted. Like, will they punt once?
Let me see here.
Not like New Orleans punted a lot either.
Yeah, I see one... They punted one time.
That was in the first half, right?
In the first half and once in the second half. So two punts total.
So it was two punts total.
By the way, because you asked about this, from the time that Brady had the fumble in the second quarter... until the time that the Bucs got the ball in the third quarter,
okay,
the Saints ran 25 plays. Mm-hmm. The Buccaneers ran 3.
Right.
That was those... from 7:42 mark in the second quarter to the 9:01 mark in the third quarter. So yeah, almost 15 minutes of, you know, 13 minutes of game time, almost.
And when you cash in on 2-for-1s, that'll completely flip the game. I mean, yep. And you know, and especially when they're, you know, at least one end of the bookend was because of a turnover. So they got a short field. You know, it was just like, I mean, the Bucks are a better team. Like, we are a better team than they are. We're like Jameis, like I said, Jameis Winston running for, you know, third and longs. We're not going to win the game. We bottled up Kamara for like the fifth straight game. I know we're losing these games, but it's like the fifth time. Like, Kamara really wasn't a factor. You know, he, you know, it's so. I mean, I get it, but, you know, and you got Desir on the outside who, you know, it's next week he's going to be wearing, like, a FedEx uniform, you know, and you know, delivering Christmas packages. So, and we still had the ball with a minute 40 left and just needed a field goal to win. And we had 100, and we had a yard, 100 yards in turnover, or in penalties. And we had two turnovers at the time. And we had two turnovers. Like, I get it, it's frustrating, it sucks, but. You know, this crap about the coaches stink, you know, and I mean, Brady's first half wasn't good. And you know what? Brady's last game really wasn't that good. He probably threw for three touchdowns, but he was like at 52% or 55%, you know, missed OJ in the end zone, missed Mike deep early on this game. But then you look up the end of the game, the guy's got four touchdowns. So like, shut the F up, man. Like, it's, you lost a game. Like, is that so long ago? You lost a game to a really good coaching staff that has a pretty good roster.
It hurts. It hurts because A, it's a division game, and B, you end up having to shoot, you know, chew on it for 2 weeks, and there's a high likelihood that when you do get back on the practice field a week from Monday, that you're going to be in second place in the division. You're not going to be in the lead for the division. And yes, the penalties are the inexcusable ones.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the offside.
I can't, that one boils my britches. Because I've been seeing Ronald it with Jones. Gerald McCoy. We got rid of him, and now here comes Shaq Barrett doing the same shit. Sorry, go ahead.
Ronald Jones getting called for illegal formation.
Pull your head out of your ass, son. Yeah. I swear to God, they'll let you play.
Yeah. Yeah. with false starts, and it's like, oh, my God. And yeah, all the you know, the taunting penalty on Devin White, you know, there were so many.
Do you think that he can actually get rid of that? I feel like 9 years down the road, Devin White's still going to be getting three taunting penalties a year.
Well, I mean, Ryan Jensen does. I think that Devin White has the same kind of it's something inside, you know.
Yeah, that the way he competes.
Yes, well, yes, but it's not just competing, but it's like habitual line stepping. Like he wants to know where the line is, and sometimes he goes beyond the line, and you end up getting the flag thrown at him. But he's got to know where that line is, and he's going to just push until you tell him where that line is, and then he'll back off. But yeah, I feel that Devin White is going to be just like Ryan Jensen in that case, that they're just going to be.
I feel like Devin White is never going to get it. Like, it's so, that's just the way he's played his whole life, where it's like he makes a tackle and he jumps up and he talks shit. Like, I just think that that's just how it's always going to be, and he's going to get flagged for it. But yeah, Jensen, you know, he sort of became a targeted man, you know, his first year here, and then he backed off, and now he backed off even more. Not by his play, but, you know, he understands more where, like you said, he has a better understanding where the line is, and he doesn't cross it. I like what Alec Marpet said when he got a personal foul after a play once. You know, there was a pileup, and people were pushing, and Alec came running over and shoved somebody. and I think Casey, when they were doing the Alec and Donovan show, Casey asked him, like, you know, that's kind of out of character for you to get that kind of penalty, blah, blah, blah. You know, what did you learn from it? And Allie goes, I learned that you grab them and pull them towards you. You don't push them.
Exactly.
You never get a penalty if you grab them, you know, by the scruff of the neck and pull them towards you, or you're face to face. Like, that's how you do it. No penalty ever. But if you extend the arms. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I know you mentioned this on Twitter. Because when Donovan Smith went down,
with the arm,
it looked like it was an arm.
He was holding his wrist, arm.
Yeah. Like, you missed one play, and I was like,
one play.
I was like, oh, this could be bad.
Yeah, like, this could be real bad, like for a long time bad.
Yes, like how is this going to work? Because we've become so accustomed over the last year plus that the five guys that you're going to see up on the line are going to be the same five guys for every single play.
Right.
And when you see Donovan Smith go down, and then you have to see Josh Wells go into that spot, and they brought in Aaron Stinney to get the for the seventh offensive lineman,
which was
I thought a very smart plan, even though then Jensen got called for holding on the play.
Yeah, and that was a ticky tack call too.
Yeah,
I mean, because he had him. Well, because I mean, I've seen it a few times. I'm like, OJ Howard got the same crap called on a couple years ago, but I see it in other NFL games too. But you got him, like, you know, trying to do this for the camera. You got him locked up shoulder to shoulder, right? And then the play breaks one way or the other behind the lineman. And so the defensive guy starts to lean, and when they lean, they get there. But when they start to get the space between them, kind of like with Cockrell, then, like, if he's leaning this way, I'm trying to do it for the camera, it's opposite. He's leaning this way, then you let go, with this hand, and it's not holding anymore. But the refs sometimes call, like, just a little bit of the lean, and now you can sense the hands aren't locked up in between the shoulders, and it's outside of the shoulder because the guy's moving and the offensive lineman isn't. Then it becomes a hold. And I mean, it was a hold, technically. There was a lot of...
It happens.
I don't think there was a lot of outrageous penalties against the Bucs. I really don't. Like, ones that were like, oh my God, that was so fucking stupid. What are you doing? The offsides. And that's really about it. Like, I don't... Like, Cockrell was bullshit. Golston was bullshit. False start on Rojo. But that didn't... We probably even scored that drive. Did that do anything? It's just Rojo. I was like, fucking Rojo again. Jesus Christ. But, you know... The Golston one was crap. The Devin one was crap. The Crockwell one was crap. I thought the Jensen hold was ticky-tacky. You know. I just didn't see a lot of... I think Devin... I didn't see the Donovan Smith got called for holding... that wasn't terrible either. Like, it wasn't like hooked around the neck and the guy was going to sack him. It was just
the left arm went outside the shoulder.
Exactly. It's the classic sort of like, okay, yes, I live with it. But what exasperates it is the Saints didn't get any, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the Saints.
11 penalties on the Bucks, just two for New
10. Orleans. Two for 10.
Two for 10.
Two for 10 yards.
Two five-yard penalties. Now, they did get called for pass interference on Mike Evans on his touchdown. That penalty was declined, right. So that doesn't count. But, it was just – you look at it, minus three. When you're minus three in the turnover battle and you have nine more penalties and almost 100 yards more in penalty yardage, you're not going to win these games.
No, we did it once. It was week one against Dallas. Remember that? It was like first time in like 100 years a team is like give up 30 points, lost a turnover battle by three or more and given up 100 yards and committed 100 yards of penalties and still won the game.
Yeah.
It was like the first time ever in NFL history.
Yeah.
And we almost did it twice.
Yeah. Almost twice, although, you know, and you know, it comes down to the third turnover and
I'm not too upset about it. I'm most upset because it's the Saints, and you know, thank God I don't. I mean, no Saint. You know, thanks for being here. He's always cool. But you know, it's like I'm just glad that I don't interact with a lot of Saints fans on Twitter because you know I hear about it and I kind of see it sometimes, not a lot, but you know, there's this sort of trolling going on back and forth with you know certain. High-profile Buccaneer fans and Saints fans, and man, they're gonna have to eat it for like 2 weeks,
you know?
And for the rest of the year until the Bucs play them again. Like, you know, that's something I've always said, always thought to myself, especially when I was a Bucs fan when I was very young. And you know, every time like, well, who's your football team? The Bucs, and like, oh my God, they're terrible. You suck. Oh, your team sucks. And they're right. My team does suck, and they are terrible. And I always said, one day. But I remember, like, being crapped on. And, like, you know, you brought up way back one of our first shows, like, all the Carson jokes, you know?
Yeah.
About the Buccaneers. And the whole nation was laughing. And it didn't make me feel good. So when my team's on top, like, one, I don't really want to make someone feel that way. Because, you know, be, like, if you're going to say something to me, I'm going to be like, okay, well, and then if you get rude about it, then, you know, okay, we'll troll back and forth, fine. But I'm not going to start crap with you about how crappy you are, because my team was crappy forever. And two, it's going to come back to bite you, because you're like, has any team ever won every single game and won the Super Bowl or the World Series every year or the NBA championship or the Yugoslavian Luge championship? Like, every single year? Has anyone ever gone undefeated in their whole entire life? I guess besides Jack Dempsey?
Yeah, Rocky Marciano.
Rocky Marciano.
He kicked Joe Louis's ass.
Rocky Marciano. Every little white guy brings up Rocky Marciano. Taste the soup. Yeah, so, I mean, so, like, just keep your mouth shut because, you know, it's going to come back and freaking bite you. And that's it. And so... I cheer for my team. I don't really give a shit about anybody else's. But I do not like the Saints because their players are dickheads and they cheat. And their coach is a humongous asshole. The end. Well,
there you go. The end. Before we get on to, I guess, the next item of business here. Did you bet this week?
I did.
How did you do?
I have no idea. It's been a very busy week for me.
It's been a very busy week for Ren.
I didn't take the Bucks.
Probably smart.
I did a two-team parlay, and then I did a pick. I think it all is going to revolve. Most of it's going to revolve around this Dallas game. Like, when I made the bets, like on Tuesday, I didn't know Dak Prescott was like, you know, 50-50 or 40-60 not going.
Yeah, and that was Cooper.
But
Rush.
Is he out? Is Dak out? Out?
Dak is inactive.
Okay, so there goes all my bets. I was betting the Cowboys. I didn't bet anything huge, but I was betting the Cowboys. I bet the Cowboys to cover, and then I bet the Cowboys to cover with somebody else with a 7-point teaser in their favor. So that's what I bet. What did you do?
I took Seattle, which was, I think, very smart of me.
Yes.
First time I was actually smart. And I took Philadelphia and teased him with the 49ers, which made me very, very happy. So I actually went 3-0 this week.
Nice. Wow.
So I'm very, very happy with myself when it comes to the betting.
See, isn't it much more fun?
It's much more fun when you win betting.
Yeah, now imagine doing that like 6 more times in a row.
Exactly. And then I would be you.
You could be me.
I could be Ren. And you could be Ren, too.
How?
By using BetUS.com. They are the official sponsor of the PewterCast, and for 27 years, the great folks at BetUS.com have been paying off their wins. They're going to pay off my win. That's certainly.
I'm checking my bets right now.
This week. There you go. And you can get a sign-up bonus here from BetUS.com.
Watch how fast and easy this is, guys.
This is really fast, really easy. You can go to BetUS.com.
Click.
Use the promo code Pewter with the letter C and the number 125. So PewterCast, take off the AST and add the number 125. You get a 125% sign-up bonus. So go to BetUS.com, PewterC125, and deposit $100. You get $225 of your balance. So you can definitely have a lot of fun there. Ren's had a lot of fun. I'm starting to have fun, especially after this week.
You've got I lost. I had I took Cincy.
Oh,
-4.
Yeah, and, yeah. Against the Jets.
Yeah,
yeah. They lost to the Jets, which is not a pretty sight. But yes, so
I teased it down to 4, and they lost. Sorry, you were saying something amazing about BetUS giving us free money.
You got free money, plus you can use it on all their lines, whether it's the NFL and college football they've got. Mm-hmm. The NBA and the NHL have both started up, and they've got lines for every single game every night in both of those leagues. You can bet on the UFC. You can bet on PGA when golf comes back. And, of course, Ren's favorite, the ponies.
The ponies.
He loves the ponies. And you can use the promo code again, PewterC125. Again, PewterCast. Drop the AST and add the number 125 and get a 125% sign-up bonus at BetUS.com. It's the best way to help support the podcast. is BetUS.com. You bet, you win, you get paid with BetUS.
Just to answer this, Frank G. Prescott tweaked his calf, and he's been like 50-50 all week long, and he came out pregame warm-ups, and I guess he can't go. So that's what's wrong with Prescott. But I have the Cowboys getting 2.
Okay.
For tonight's game. I got a C note on that.
So Cowboys plus 2 with no Prescott.
No, minus 2, so I guess they're not getting 2. All right, it is so minus 2.
They are minus 2 in Minnesota.
Without Prescott.
Without Dak Prescott. It means you're going to hopefully get a lot of Zeke.
Oh, I need what I need is Trevor Siemian to fly to Dallas or Minneapolis.
Yeah, or maybe Case Keenum on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that you never know. So we've got 2 weeks now to have to chew on this until the Bucs play the Washington football team. I guess the one thing I want to ask of you is, of the guys that are inactive, injured reserve,
sure,
who's the most important person to get back for the Bucs to get back?
Well, I don't even really have to think about it because it's Carlton Davis. I think Carlton Davis might be the, if you look at the defense, JPP's played out of his freaking mind the past 2 games. JPP was fucking everywhere today. And do you see, like, Shaq helped him up?
No club.
He had no club, and then I think he had it on coming out of halftime. Like, I think he was club and no club today. But at one point, it was like they ran Kamara, and it was like a stretch run to the outside. And, you know, JPP, of course, held his guy and kept, you know, drawing it out, and got in on the tackle for, like, you know, it was like a 1.5 yard gain. And Shaq was there helping him up, and like his arm, he couldn't, because of his shoulder, like, he couldn't lift it. Like, Shaq went to grab his shoulder pad, and JP was like, "Oh, no, no," and then he helped him up the other one, but he couldn't put his hand down to push off with his weight to even stand up. And if you looked even later than that, it was the play where Shaq jumped off sides, but he got back. But when Shaq went, JPP saw Shaq go, so JPP went. Shaq made it back. JPP didn't. If you see him, like, sort of like he puts his hand up, kind of bat the ball, the other arm is just dead. Like, yeah. Next, like, and it's just like, and this guy's still playing, and he's still playing high level. But sorry, that was what a tangent. It's Carlton Davis, because I think that he's the second most viable player on that defense. I think after Vita Vea, it's Carlton Davis for what he can do and provide for that defense. Like, with Vita Vea, is he the best player? No. Does he make the most splash plays? No. For what he does that free up so many other people? Like, he's going to be the hardest to replace in that Todd Bowles defense for let everyone stay status quo. Mm-hmm. And when Carlton Davis comes out there, they're going to be able to take Devin White and push him a little closer to the line of scrimmage. You'll start seeing more splash plays from Devin White. And you won't see quarterbacks like Trevor Siemian strictly throw at one guy who should be Carlton Davis. If Carlton Davis is out there, I don't know if the Saints score. You know, they would have had to depend on Jameis Winston picking up every 3rd and 8 for the whole entire game. And, oh, horse collar. We didn't even talk about that bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking horse collar. It was below the nameplate on the shoulder.
I know.
And like, Ian, what the fuck was that?
You saw him grab the shirt. Like, he had a handful of shirt.
Yeah. It's just that they don't understand how strong he is. And the way he fell and twisted, it's like, whoa, that's got to be a horse collar.
I know. That was the first crap call of the night was that one. But I think that the Saints do score, mostly because the first touchdown was Tre'Quan Smith being guarded by Ross Cockrell.
Jameis on the right. That was a nice throw. Like, I was watching, you know, of course, Jameis and stuff, and I was like, okay, that was a really good throw. He identified the weak spot. You get Cockrell past, you know, five yards.
And got hit by Shaq, Ndamukong Suh, and Devin White.
Yeah. How'd you like that? How'd they have that sandwich?
Enjoy that.
Yeah, and he bounced his head off the turf.
Yeah.
And it was also a really good throw. That was a really good throw by Jameis, but yeah, so I mean, Yeah, what are you going to do? I'm not that upset. I'm upset, but I'm not that upset. And the thing that sucks the most, and No Sane alluded to it, is just having to wait 2 weeks now to sort of get your fan revenge on.
Yeah.
Or at least attempt to do it.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I think Carlton Davis is probably the most important, but I think from an eyeball test, when you're just watching it on television, probably to me the most important person is Antonio Brown.
What about Gronk?
I don't know if Gronk's going to be ready after the. I mean, I would assume that he'll try and play, but I just think
that wasn't the question. Are you taking Gronk out of the equation altogether?
Yeah.
Let's put Gronk in there since we're not doctors.
Okay.
Gronk, Davis, or who were you saying?
Antonio Brown.
Yeah. How bad would this game would have been if Antonio Brown was there? Yeah. Oh my God.
Would have been crazy. That's
and
that's
Gronk. Sure. Yeah. God. Yeah. And the Saints supposed to be a good defense, and so was the Bears. Like this offense is freaking rolling. Three turnovers, still scored 27 points. Yeah. And didn't have the ball for 15 minutes of game time. Of actual game time. And it's straight.
I know. It was absolutely crazy to think that, but yeah. Oh well.
I like AB. That's a good pick. I still think it's Davis, but
no, I agree. I agree with you that when you're looking all 22s and when you're thinking about okay, what's the most important piece to come back? You're right. It is Carlton Davis.
Yeah,
getting Carlton Davis back is more important to this team's success, especially defensively, than getting Antonio Brown or Gronk back on the offense.
Yeah,
but eyeballs on the screen watching it on television. You would hear a lot more about, oh, they've got Antonio Brown back. He missed the final two games before.
Right.
So I think that's probably the biggest way. By the way, I know people are talking about the offensive line. The offensive line, yeah.
I was going to give Eddie Duvall. He's a Episode? No. Damn it. I'm messing up. Anyway, I was actually going to talk to him about, because he said, what's wrong with him? The defense actually sucked. And I get that, because that's the way Carney felt, too. And he's still going to have that opinion. You can have it, too. And I was going to go through the whole rehash real quick of why I think the defense kind of left out to dry. And, they stopped him three and out. And,
go for it.
Because right after that, he put the O-line sucked. And it was like one of the best games I've seen the O-line play all year. So your opinion is stupid on everything because you wrote the O-line sucked. So O-line was better than fine. Well, O-line was doing God's. Brady was back there. Like, there wasn't someone with him like 3 yards most plays. I mean, not. Anyway, but I get it. But yeah, the game ended. I guess they had 2 sacks in the last drive that we were down 9. So, I mean, I can understand, recency bias, but yeah, the O-line was really good today. So
yeah, I was really impressed with, they gave Brady a lot more time than, and especially when you've got Marcus Davenport on one side, Cam Jordan on the other side,
right,
and DeMario Davis, who was everywhere on the field.
Yeah, he's good
in this game.
He's real good.
You look at how that worked out. I would certainly think that would be the case. Yeah, I mean, you look at it, they only hit Tom Brady 4 times.
And 2 were sacks. And two came on the last four downs.
Yeah, I technically believe the fumble was also a sack.
And a hit.
Yeah, so there you go.
Punched him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Brady went down. Ow.
Four.
Pulled his Eli Manning.
And I think that the one thing that we can all be thankful for is that at least the referees went to the replay on Leonard Fournette's fumble,
right?
In air quotes, and saw that he didn't actually have control of the ball when it came out.
Yeah.
So it was like I was sitting there and I was like, you've got to be kidding me! You've got to go. I even said that on Twitter. I'm like, I'm challenging that if they don't look at it in the booth and they do, I'm like that's one that you had to challenge.
Yeah, yeah. But all turnovers and scoring plays are reviewed. So, yeah. But yeah, so they got that one right, which was nice. So that call went, you know, for it. But on Twitter, like, I put out something. I'm like, you know, I said, you know, praise the Lord, Fournette can't catch. Some people didn't understand that, you know, didn't see the last replay, maybe didn't hear before going to commercial because they were busy, like, running around their house, pulling their hair out. Because I got that. Like, when that happened and they were in the Saints were covering the end zone, I go, okay, now it's over. Like, it's going to be real, real hard to come back. I wasn't going to tweet it out, but I was like, okay, this is over.
And then they end up scoring the touchdown afterwards. So,
yeah.
I was like, you make that one count.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, thank God, yeah, thank God Fournette can't catch because, I don't know, maybe if he caught it the first time, he wouldn't have fumbled, who knows. But, yeah, so that was probably the only thing that really went the Bucs' way. The refs got a call right after botching it originally.
But again,
you know, I mean, I used to remember, you know, when the Bucs would lose on Sunday, like, I wouldn't be right until, like, Wednesday. Like, I remember, like, you know, a couple of decades of that crap. But I'm already over this loss, so it's part of the reason why we talk about it. It's cathartic. It's just,
It is.
Yeah.
You see me? I'm smiling now.
Yeah, there he is. Well, you were smiling before. That was because you wanted people's heads. Queen of Hearts over here.
Right. Damn straight.
So, who is the worst ruler, the Queen of Hearts or the King from History of the World Part 2?
Well, it was always good to be the king. That was the thing.
Yeah, who was the worst ruler?
Oh, the Queen of Hearts.
Oh, okay.
Because it's always good to be the king.
It is always good to be the king. It's good to be the king.
It's good to be the king.
Anyway.
Oh, God. All right. Let's get the hell out of here. It's been an hour. We appreciate all the love. We appreciate the comments, even the idiotic ones. So.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, we all got our, you know, we all got our thing. And, you know, Sean Payton, like, coached a great game. He did. He called a really good game. You know, I don't think their defensive scheme was as great as you know, they're going to get praised for this week. But, you know, they did cause 3 turnovers. One was a punch in the arm, so, okay. And then, I guess, I'm not going to argue, but, you know, 2 of them happened to be on Brady thinking Chris Godwin was going to be somewhere faster than he was. One, he got held coming out of the break and was supposed to cross in front of the safety, and he didn't.
Tyler Johnson was supposed to clear out.
That was it. Tyler Johnson was supposed to clear that guy out, and he wasn't supposed to be there. And then everyone heard Aikman sort of what he was talking about. But still, Brady threw it too far in front of Godwin because he was turning it into a diving catch, and he still couldn't get it. So, but if he would have caught it, he probably would have broke his ribs like Brady when he hung Gronk out to dry in the Rams game. So
yeah,
blessing in disguise. I'm glad we lost this game because if we would have won it, Chris Godwin would not be here for 4 weeks. There we go. That'll put a wrap on it. Best place you can find me is on Twitter at the Petercast. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football, but if you think your tweet's too hot and want to put it out there in Twittersphere, feel free to slide in my DMs and I'll talk Buccaneers football with you there as well too.
You can get me. I am at Steve Carney.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. Mike Flowers. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No Sherm.
Okay. Sorry. And I wasn't ignoring it. Well, maybe I was. Because he wasn't cleared to play. Right? Like, he wasn't dressed, was he?
Yeah, he was dressed.
He was dressed?
Yeah, he was dressed.
Well, maybe they only had him. So my thinking would be, and maybe, you know, you'll find it out this week. You know, obviously I'm not in the huddle, but my thinking would be that he was for emergency only, and if no one got hurt, then he wasn't going to play, and that's fine with me. I mean, I see he was active. Okay, I got you. That's why that's my answer for you, Mike. I'm sorry. I quit yelling at me. I don't like. Do I look like I make the personnel decisions for the roster on game day? But yeah, gotcha. All right, cool. Okay, yeah. So anyway, that's what I would think. That's probably what it is. And you know, I saw a lot of people too, like the Twitter doctors. As soon as Gronk goes out with back spasm, they were like, "Oh, we should have just kept him out and been healthy after the bye week. We might not have him for Washington." Like, oh, really? Because you were so up to date on his injury that he's been out for 4 weeks? Like, well, like it's like okay. All right.
We'll see what happens. It's a
if he sprained
thing.
His ankle, would that have made you feel better?
It's good. It's a good thing that they've got the bye because they can get some of these guys
healthy. Yeah, now. That's going to be good. It's really going to be a whole new team once we come out of the bye week. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Sherman. Do they start him up opposite Carlton? They sent Jamel Dean. There was that tweet this week. He's like the best passing, best defense grade against people throwing at him. I would argue it's because a lot of them are missed throws because of the pressure. But hey, like so are everyone else's that gets graded on that system. But you know, it's going to be interesting. So you got that, and I still want to see more Geo, but I get why not. And maybe JPP's finger will fuse back together and he'll be fine. But having Carlton back there, it's going to look like a whole new defense. And I think the turnovers are start coming in bunches. Because remember how worried we were about the pressure, like after week one, week two?
Yep.
Yeah, well, the pressure's there, man. I don't know how these guys are getting out of it. Like, they should have had 9 sacks today.
Trevor Siemian was running for his life. You can't catch
him. So is Jameis.
Northwestern.
I don't know. That's a bit racist, but whatever.
Northwestern quarterbacks.
You didn't go to a Big Ten school.
I did not go to a Big
Ten. Does Navy play Northwestern every year? Is it because both your emblems are N's? Is it the Battle of the N logos?
Yes, yes. The blue and gold versus the purple and
white.
Whatever. Purple and white. All right, let's get out of here. Steve Carney at on Twitter and Instagram, stp9.com for Ray's stuff. Very interesting. Article up this that I put up.
Yeah, was this about
the attack ad?
Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Very interesting that we saw an attack ad going after Stu Sternberg's Split City plan. Looked like it was done by a kindergartner with an Amazon Fire tablet.
Okay,
because it's really amateur.
Okay, well I have one of those.
Well, so do I, but I'm not trying to do commercial. I'm not trying to edit 30-second commercial that's going to air on television. Not so.
GoPros are expensive.
Yeah,
probably could take a better one with your phone.
Exactly, but go to stp9.com. You can find out who's behind that ad and why they're doing it.
I'm going to make you tell me after when we get off.
You betcha. It's pretty simple, but again. thank you to BetUS.com. Thank you to the Fansided Network for letting us be the official podcast, Bucks podcast of the Fansided Network. And until next time, go Buck yourself.